Most of us have a story to tell about a repair to a motor vehicle we were not sure we needed. I mean, if we knew so much about cars, we would not have other people fix them, right? So what do we do when a mechanic says our car needs X and we're just not sold literally on the repair or the cost of it, or think it needs Y instead of X? That's the general theme of this month's edition of The Squeaky Wheel, our regular visit with Zach Edwards, the proprietor of Ashland Automotive. Good to see you once again, Zach. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good to see you, too.
They are called car techs now, I guess, not mechanics anymore.
Yeah, automotive technicians, mm-hmm. for sure. It's, you know, mechanic is suitable as well, but it's there's so much more to the job than just turning wrenches and fixing things, and I think that's the real shift is the job description now is you're not only a mechanic, but you're also a diagnostician and many other things. At the front counter, they're oftentimes an educator. So our service advisors, they advise customers on the needs of their car. And going back to the question of the day is, how do you know if your car is going to need that repair? There has to be some level of education happening at the front counter with the service advisors to the customers. So if the customer has questions, the advisor in an ideal situation can offer, at least in layman's terms, an explanation as to why the car is going to need that, some of the risks that the customer might be taking if they elect to not do that repair that day. Usually with car repair, you're risking further damage of related components and systems because so many of the systems work together.
Well, so as far as the technician part of it, and I know this it's way beyond the wrenches now. It gets into the diagnostic stuff. So when you trained, for example, and you went to an RCC program, was it right, Road Community College?
Yep.
How much of that was computer time and just understanding how the computers and the cars talk to each other?
Well, a lot of it was, and, you know, I graduated. I'm starting to become antiquated at this point. I mean, I graduated in 2001, I think, and at that point, there was a couple of classes that were just dedicated to computer controls of various systems. But then, you know, for instance, if you were in a transmission class and you were studying the automatic transmission, that class couldn't possibly be taught without some coverage of the computer integration. And so, you know, other than manual transmissions, which are still pretty simple, non-computerized components, but obviously very few cars are sold with a manual or standard transmission anymore. Other than that, virtually every system on the car has some level of computer integration, and even manual transmissions have a limited number of computer sophistication, but it does have some components that, you know, the computers want to look at. They want to look at the output speed sensor. They want to look at the input speed.
All right, so that's a good place to start, though. For somebody who is not sure what the car tech, the automotive tech is talking about when they say, well, here's what your codes show, what are they talking about? I mean, and can you see an actual printout that indicates what the error codes are that your car is delivering to the diagnostic computer?
Yeah, you could see a printout of that. I mean, the technician's scan tool or the computer, their interface device, they come in different forms. Most of them aren't, it's not a laptop. Some guys use a laptop-based, and then you could just hit, like a screen print or something. But most of the tools that we use, certainly all our tools at our shop, they have some kind of long, convoluted way to print your screen. But we don't really utilize that. The tech, if there's 10 or 15 codes showing, which can happen, then they might want to print that just to have it as a reference. But generally, when you're looking for a problem, you retrieve the codes out of the computer's memory. There's going to be two or three, and they just write it down on their notepad that they're working with.
As the people who repair cars then, I mean, given a choice between what the error codes are telling you but what you're hearing from the person who drives the car every day, no, I swear it's going clankety, 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 and they're giving you a description that sounds like something you know, but you're looking at error codes that don't necessarily tell you the same thing or they tell you something different. How do you reconcile that kind of difference?
Well, it's important to, I'm going to back up and just say that the error codes or the trouble codes or the fault codes, or the technical term is the DTC, which is the diagnostic trouble code. Those really point to a circuit. And so you have all of these circuits in the car, and the computer systems, the individual computer modules, communicate with each other through a common communication line called the data bus. And it's kind of like the information highway for the car's network. And when they have performed a monitor, a system monitor, and something didn't come up right, that's when the trouble code is going to be stored. And so it's going to, that code is going to point to a certain circuit. That's it. I mean, it's basically, it's analogous to if you were to go to the doctor and say, you know, I have a stomach ache. The doctor is going to know, okay, well, he's got a stomach ache, but I need to run a couple of tests. And that's the same thing that has to happen at the shop. The trouble codes point to a certain circuit, even if it was a blatant, you know, a common oxygen sensor code, you know, bank one, oxygen sensor one, heater fault. So that points you to a very specific circuit, but the technician still has to go in and test that oxygen sensor heater circuit, because there are other things that could be happening that set that code erroneously. And if a technician were to just change the part based off the code, there's some sort of ratio. I would say it's a 50-50 that you might fix the problem and you might not. And of course, that's the customer's money that you're playing with. And so a good professional and certified shop is not just going to replace a part based off a code. They're going to ask the customer to authorize some tests be run, because there's just too many things going on there. And for example, with an oxygen sensor code, you know, exhaust leaks can cause oxygen sensor codes to set erroneously. And the computer system, which is monitoring itself, is very limited still. Of course, it's being enhanced every day, but it's still pretty limited on what it can detect. And they don't really detect exhaust leaks. That's a mechanical condition only.
Okay, I was going to ask you where the computer system ends up breaking down. Zach Edwards is our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. This is the Squeaky Wheel, your chance to let us hear about what's going on with your car. And have you had situations where you just weren't sure your car needed the repair that was being advocated? That's the major question on the table. Describe your car care issues with us. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And that was the question I'd written down, as other times when the techs are still stumped.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, it's their job is so incredibly difficult, and it takes so many tools in their toolkit, not their toolbox, I guess, but, you know, I say the toolkit because it's kind of this imaginary bag that they carry with them, but they just have to have so many skills to be effective at their job, and also so much just on-the-job experience, and...
What should you do, for example, as a customer? I mean, you've got an issue with the car. You're pretty sure you know what the issue is, and perhaps the person who you know had a chance to drive your car or towed it in figured out what was going on. And you say, okay, so do this to the car. Do just this to the car. Don't do anything else without calling me first. And you get there, and the car has been fixed for, you know, three stages beyond what you authorized.
Mm. Well, that's a unfortunate incident if that happens. I mean, I don't think any business should perform any service that's going to cost the customer dollars that the customer didn't authorize. And so, again, it comes down to communication. And I think most modern and professional shops are going to have a dedicated communicator. So that's going to be someone at that front desk who that's their job is to perform the communication and be the liaison between the technician and the customer. You also referenced, you know, if the technician or if the customer comes in and they know what's wrong with their car and they want just this amount done, I should say it's pretty uncommon for the customer to come in and know what's wrong with their car. Modern cars are so complex. It's not uncommon for a customer to come in and think they know what's wrong with their car, but oftentimes there's more to the story, or they're partially right. Now, customers are almost always correct when we have customers that come in and say, I'm hearing this in the morning, and we have a technician who can't duplicate that concern.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes the technician, you know, wants to say, well, I can't get it to act up, you know, let's send it away and have them come back when it's acting up again. And we have to, you know, take a step back and say, well, you know, the customer, they don't make these things up. They're actually hearing mm-hmm. these noises. Every once in a while, we have a customer who's hearing things that maybe aren't, you know, it's a normal noise, you know, like a turbo whining really loud. Mm-hmm. That's a normal noise, and a customer's sensitive to that. But usually, you know, the technician is going to have to perform tests, and that service advisor is going to have to educate the customer on why the tests are necessary and why we're recommending that and that repair. And it always comes down to the customer needs to feel like they're at the right place and have a level of trust with that service advisor and with the guys that are in the back.
So tell us again your car repair story here on the Squeaky Wheel. 800-838-3760. Zach Edwards should have an answer for you. He's from Ashland Automotive. 800-838-3760. jx@jeffnet.org. I'm still amazed that it gets down to sometimes a level of like replacing this part, this $6 part. We had a lurching problem with a pickup truck a few months ago. It's like, is it a fuel filter, a fuel delivery problem? Is it an electrical problem? Well, it turns out it was one of the plug wires that had gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
On a four-cylinder engine, that makes a big difference.
And so the truck was lurching.
Yeah, it was doing this kind of thing where it just felt like the engine was catching at times. It just wasn't firing all cylinders.
Yeah, so it was misfiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So normally a lurch, that's a transmission problem when someone describes a lurch.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, this is how, you know, you're using a terminology which is by no means scientific, and it's not scientific on our end either. Those service advisors need to work with the customer and prod. I always coach our advisors to, you know, don't just write down the customer's concern. Reply with more questions and gather as much information as you can, because the more you can get the customer talking about the condition, the better the chance is that the technician is going to be able to solve that mystery. It's basically a mystery every time a car comes in nowadays.
I've had some of those situations where people did ask the right questions. Like, well, you know, it wobbles, I would say. And they say, well, where does it wobble? Well, the front end wobbles. Well, what in the front? Where do you feel it? Do you feel it in your hands, or do you feel it in your feet, or do you feel it in your butt? And it's like, well, I feel it in my butt. Ah, that's an alignment.
Yeah.
Mm. Versus wheel balancing or something else.
Yeah. It's just about communication again. And we've got to keep relentless in the pursuit of communicating at the front counter, because it's you know, people get sensitive about cars, and obviously money is an issue for all of us when we're getting our cars fixed, and car repair is not cheap. And the more we can communicate, the more effective we can be at helping customers.
There's a couple of issues that Consumer Reports put out there that I wanted to bring to you. One is they get that engine flushed right away or it's toast. Would that ever be true?
Get the engine flushed right away. You shouldn't have to flush your engine if you've been...
This is a coolant flush we're talking about, right?
Oh, well, there's a coolant flush. There's a engine oil mm-hmm. flush, so the oiling system could become sludged. Again, the coolant, a flush refers to, you know, forcing all of the old fluid out and replacing the entire system with new fluid. It would be like a transplant or a transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be necessary with a modern car if the car has received regular maintenance. And so with a cooling system, just like with the oiling system, you know, you do an oil change every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. If you do that always and you use a good quality oil, should never have to flush the oiling system. And similarly with a cooling system, if you change the coolant, you know, we recommend every 2 to 3 years, even with cooling systems that are supposedly lifetime coolant, mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole, I've made a blog on my website about lifetime fluids actually, and it's really valuable to read. But if you do the regular system servicing, you shouldn't ever have to do a flush.
Of coolant.
Yep. Okay. Or of oil.
Okay. Of oil.
Or of transmission for that matter.
Among the other things on the top five things that Consumer Reports heard from people was like, with some cars, it's not unusual to go through a starter every year. That's your eyes narrowed as quickly as mine did.
Yeah, I'm a little puzzled at that one. I don't read Consumer Reports myself because mm-hmm. Consumer Reports generally pertains to new cars,
mm-hmm.
and I'm probably never going to own a new car. All the cars I own are generally 15 to 20 years old. And the cars, for that matter, the cars that we do repairs on are generally 3 years old or older. Any repairs needed on a car that's younger than 3 years are generally going to be under a warranty by the manufacturer. Now, we do a lot of basic maintenance on brand new cars. You know, someone goes and buys a new car and they bring it to us for their oil changes and whatnot, and that's fine, but that's basic maintenance. So we're not really problem solving with cars that age. No, to answer your question with one word, no, I don't think any car is going to go through a starter every year. But I will say that with new hybrids and the start-stop technology, where cars now turn themselves off and then start themselves again to reduce the amount of idling, those cars are certainly going to go through a starter more than the cars of old, where you just start the car one time and then drive down the road and shut it off and then start it again, because that car is starting, you know, I don't know the statistics.
Several times in the trip, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be 10 times more than a normal car, because it's just starting all the time because it's shutting itself off all the time. So with those cars, I would definitely say that the starters are going to be replaced more often than not, but I would have a hard time believing that any manufacturer is going to build a starter that would need to be replaced every year. I think they're going to probably change the starter design, trying to make it last longer and be more effective given its new workload.
So on a hybrid, is that starter going to be smaller, because we assume the gas engine is going to be somewhat smaller too?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so interesting. All kinds of new things that come on. We have years to talk about more cars coming up, with electric ones and self-driving and
everything's
hybrids.
Changing. It's pretty exciting.
Every month, something new to talk about with Zach Edwards. He is our regular guest from Ashland Automotive in our segment called The Squeaky Wheel. Get your items in for next month. We can figure out what you'd like to talk about on The Squeaky Wheel with Zach Edwards about car repair issues. Thanks again for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.